Hey, good morning, you guys. How is everybody? All right, if you got your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Come on, good morning, Rev City. Good to be with you in the house of God and just excited about what the Lord wants to do this morning. It's going to be a little different. I had a message. I was completely prepared to switch into Dream Big, Start Small. I've got an exciting message. Actually, it's turned into two or three messages just about helping you guys discover God's dream for your life. And not just to find his dream, but then how to begin to walk into it and walk it out. And I'm so excited about it. And then this morning, the Holy Spirit just said, but that's not the message for today. And I said, well, what do you mean, Lord? I said, that's the message I have. That's the message I have. That's the notes I have. I got 5 pages of notes about that message. And he said, there's something else I want to say today. So I don't know about you, but when God speaks, I just try to listen. Amen. And so I got redirected, and so he began to speak to me, and he said, before you move off of, fix your focus. There's something else I want to speak to the church. And you'll see here in a moment, it's so simple, it's so foundational, but I really do believe that for me and for my family, and hopefully for you and for your family, it's foundationally true. It's so significant. So will you go with me this morning on a little Holy Spirit redirection? Yeah. All right, come on. If you got your Bible there, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and one more message on fix your focus. And it's a value of our family. I'm preaching through some of the values of the Rev City Church family. And one of the values, in fact, it's intentionally situated at the top of our family values, is that we're going to be Jesus-centered and outward focus. We're going to be focused. And as I just began to read over and just meditate on these family values, the Holy Spirit just began to highlight that word focus. And he just began to speak to me that a lot of the issues that we face in life are issues of focus. We don't intend to drift from God and living with God and living in a relationship with God, but we lose our focus. We don't intend for our marriage to be on the brink of divorce. We never entered into it with that in mind, but we, somewhere along the line, we began to lose our focus. That's where you say focus. Many of the issues of life are focus issues, and God's calling us to refix our focus on him, on his word, on his ways, on his heart, on his church. God's calling us to fix our focus. And we've talked about this word fix, that there's a couple of meanings to it. There's as to like set your gaze intently upon something. That's how you fix your focus. And then the word fix also means to repair or correct, to reposition, to realize that there's some things we've been focusing on, and God's calling us to shift our focus, to repair or correct our focus from some things we find ourselves focusing on, back onto the things that God would have you to be focusing on. So we're fixing our focus. We're fixing our focus. And listen, when we focus on Jesus, we begin to become more like him. How many know that what you set your focus on, a lot of times in a lot of ways, you begin to become more like that? You get more of what you focus on. Listen, if you focus on the negative in life, if you focus on the bad things in life, if you focus on the difficulties in life, if you focus on the things that have happened in your life, you're going to get stuck there. And so God's calling you to focus on him. God's calling you to focus on his word. God's calling us to focus on his purposes for our life, to focus on him, and we become more like him. And listen, that's the call to us as believers, to become more like Jesus. We're more than church members. We're more than servants in the house of God. We're disciples of Christ. We're followers of Jesus, and his heart is for you and for me, for you mighty men of God in this place, for you precious ladies of God in this place, to become more like Jesus. And we're least like him when we're focused on ourselves. And we're most like him when we're laying down our lives for others. And so we're fixing our focus. How many of you are aware of a construction project that's going on right out here outside our church right here? How many of you have been affected by it a little bit? How many of you are excited about it? Come on. Listen, I was thinking about that, and actually there's been a few different reasons that in our church staff, I've had to communicate with some people about it. And before I get into this, let me just reiterate something. We're most like Jesus when we're focused on the needs of others. We're Jesus-centered. Everything we do, everything we're about as a church, everything we're about as a people is on Jesus. But God's calling us to be outward focused, to be a blessing to our community, to be a blessing to others. We're most like Jesus when we're laying our lives down for others. So the construction project. I was typing an email to someone about the construction project, and I I was typing it out, and I typed the word construction, and on the keypad of your computer, the letter I is right next to the letter U. And I typed the word construction, but the way it typed out was constriction. And spell check didn't catch it because constriction is a word. And you know, the Holy Spirit just quickly just spoke to me. I mean, I just made a mistake typing, but the Spirit of God just quickly just spoke to me and said, I want you to focus on that. And he said, these are two different words. And he said, there's a significant difference when you type it with a U versus when you type it with an I. And he began to speak to me, and he began to say, when you focus your life on others, when I make life about not what I can get, what I can build, what I need, what my wants, my preferences, my desires, and I begin to focus it on you, I'm building something. When you spell it with a U, we're building something up. When you spell it with an I, all about me, all about I, my needs, my wants, my cares, my desires, you feel the weight of constriction. And I just looked up the definitions. The definition of construction is the building, creation, or formation of something. Come on, how many want to be about building things in your life? The definition of constriction, just one little letter, means the action of making something narrower by pressure or tightening. Come on, when I make life about you, I'm building you up. When I begin to be inward focused on myself, I feel the weight of my own selfishness, and it begins to weigh heavily on me, and it's constricting to the life that God's called me to. Matthew 10, 39 says, if you cling to life, you lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. And listen, that's my passion for you, to find the life of God. We're called Rev City, and we're about reviving this city to life in Christ. Revival is the activity that we're to be about, but life is the end result that we desire for the precious people of our town. My heart and my passion for you is that you discover the fullness of life in Christ. And listen, it's more than just a good scripture for a refrigerator magnet. It's Jesus's passion for you. He wants you to discover and find his life. He wants you to walk in the fullness of life. The Greek word is zoe, and it means fullness of life. He said, the enemy comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but this is Jesus speaking, I came to you that you might find life. And that wasn't a strong enough way to say it. He said that you might find life and life abundantly. The Greek word there is parousos, and it means this overflowing, abundant life, more than you ask or need, more than you need for yourself, the kind of life that so fills you that you can't help but begin to overflow to others. And so this morning I had this amazing message. I feel like it's amazing. Come back next week, you can hear it. And the Lord just redirected me, and he said, before you move off of fix your focus into talking about dreams and purpose and destiny and me and helping people to discover and find those and begin to step and walk into it, he said, there's one more message that I want you to speak and fix your focus. And he said, I'm calling my people to once again begin to fix their focus upon my word, upon the Bible. And so how do we find life? We find our life in God's word. When we begin to focus on God's holy word, when we begin to once again give the word of God its proper place in our hearts and our lives, and we begin to build it or establish it once again, rather, as the foundation of our homes, and we begin to feed on it daily like God called us to pray, God, give us our daily bread, and we begin to discover that there's all these other places that the world would say that we would look to find life, but I'm finding it in God's holy word. I believe that this morning, the reason the Holy Spirit redirected me is because he understands that in a culture and in a church family that's believing God for revival, that's believing for God to come and use us in a way that makes an incredible difference in our community, that he understands that the pathway to it is reestablishing God's word as the foundation of our lives. And I believe that today the Holy Spirit wants to deepen or restore our passion for his word. He wants to stir in us a new passion and hunger and thirst for the Bible. And it seems so simple, but I believe it's so significant. And I believe this morning what God wants to do is in a deep way in our heart that then begins to result in some practical steps that we go out from here today and we begin to take in our life. He wants us to begin to build our lives in a more committed way upon the truth of his word. Listen, in a world that is deeming the Bible outdated and irrelevant, I'm telling you, more than ever, God's word is crucial. And in a word that is where we're in a world rather where we're surrounded by so many words, we're surrounded by news, we're surrounded by all these opinions. Listen, let me tell you, you know it's true. The world is shouting its opinions about how to do life. In that world where those ungodly agendas and those ungodly ways are clamoring for our attention more than ever, we must determine that for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the way to serve the Lord is to be in his word and to know his word. God's calling us back as to become a people of God's word. When we seek God's word, we find life. So here we are, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46 and 47. It says, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, they're not idle words. They are your life. Look at your other neighbor and say, they're my life. By them, you will live long in the land you are crossing over the Jordan to possess. God's word, these are not idle words. There's life in this book. God's word says that his word is living and active, and it's sharper than two-edged sword. There's life to be found and discovered in this book. And I'm just telling you this morning, if you need to dust it off, or if you begin, you need to begin to see it in a fresher, a new way today, I believe that God wants to do something in our hearts. Because you see, we must begin to see it for what it is. There's life to be found here. You know, I'm a big sports fan. And the Chiefs played on Thursday night. I heard a few groans there. And the Cowboys don't play till late today, so I'm just saying, you guys might be in trouble with the length of my message today. I preach quicker when the Cowboys or Chiefs play at noon. But I'm a big sports fan, and the Lord reminded me of something, that on an NFL football field, there are 22 big strapping guys. And then there's a team of referees. Can you picture it with me? And these referees are not as fast, they're not as big, they're not as strong, but these referees they've been given the authority of a rule book that's been commissioned by the office of the NFL in New York City. And there's seven guys wearing black and white stripes, by the way. It's hard to look manly in black and white stripes. And these seven guys have been inserted into this field, and all this chaos with these big strapping guys is going on all around them. And these seven guys have been inserted just with the authority of a book and a whistle around their neck. And they're bringing order to this chaos situation where all these guys are colliding into one another. They're running and racing around. And all these guys have to do is just blow a whistle, and the whole thing stops. Have you ever just thought about that? Here's what I want to encourage you with this morning. It's time for us to begin seeing God's word for what it is. God's word is more than just a rule book. God's word is more than just a rule book. It is a rule book in that God is establishing boundaries for us. He cares so much for you and for me. He cares so much for your marriage and your family. He cares so much about your mind and your heart and your health. He's established boundaries for us. But how many of you know that the NFL team, those guys out there on that field, they have to know the rules of the game, but the game is not won or lost by who has the mastery of the rules. It influences the game. But God's word is more than just a rule book. It's also a playbook. There are rules for living. There are boundaries for life. But there's also this invitation to this amazing kingdom life. And within God's word, there's a playbook to be discovered. And so God, the NFL game is governed by the rules of the NFL playbook. But the team that wins must honor those rules. But the team that wins is the one that executes their plays the best. And if you become too preoccupied with just the rule book, I mean, can you imagine if in the 2-minute drill, you know, the quarterback and the team was out there and they were saying, but what are the rules about this play? They've got no chance to successfully execute the game plan. We've got to get in the Word and learn about God's Word and His ways and learn about the boundaries and the rules for life that He's given us so that that becomes the framework for this amazing life of activity that God's called us to. God's Word is a more than a rule book. It's a playbook for your life. We've got to start seeing it differently. If we begin to see it differently, I believe we'll start to value it differently. Deuteronomy 11, turn back. Where'd I have you? Deuteronomy 32, turn back a few books there to Deuteronomy chapter 11. You know, and as we're talking about fix our focus, we see with our eyes, but we focus with our hearts. And as you're turning back there to Deuteronomy chapter 11, Ephesians chapter 1, 18 says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. We physically see with our eyes, but we focus with our heart. And so Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, if you're there, say I'm there. It says this, fix these words of mine in your hearts and in your minds. And then it says this, and these are practical instructions that God was giving to his people because he understood how important it was for them to value and cherish and live according to his word. And he said, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them upon your foreheads. And so, listen, I mean, God's basically right there. God's establishing the first WWJD bracelet right there, you know. I mean, it's a God thing to put the word of God and tie it around your hands. Keep it before you where you're seeing what God's word is saying, what his instructions are saying to you. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them around your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talking about them whenever you sit at home and whenever you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Listen, when you sit at home and when you walk around the road, I believe that God's calling us. And this is where the rubber begins to meet the road. I believe God's going to stir in some of the hearts of parents this morning to begin in a new way or a fresh way. Maybe for you it would be revisiting some things that you've already done before in your life. To begin to gather your family around God's word, to begin to intentionally teach your children God's word, to begin to find creative ways to begin to challenge them to memorize God's word and write it on their heart and write it in their mind. God says, gather around your family. When you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you go on your way, when you're in your workplace and the things that God's called you to in life, don't leave God's word at home. Take it with you is what he's saying. When you lie down and when you get up, listen, this is real practical, and I'm just encouraging you with some things, and I want to encourage you to take it and then begin to apply it in your own life, in your own way. He says early in the morning when you get up and then at night when you lay down, I believe it's a good practical exercise to make God's word the first thing that you put in your spirit in the morning when you wake up. And I think it would be a good exercise to make it the last thing that you put in your spirit before you lay your head down on your pillow. Listen, I'm just telling you, I believe God wants to speak to you even in the night. God's word talks about it. And I think you're better positioned to hear from God and dream with God and be impacted by the presence of God and experience the sweetness of sleep that he wants you to have if the last thing that goes through your mind is God's word and not The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones. Come on, I know I'm stepping on some toes here this morning. But hopefully it resonates with you. In the morning and in the night, focus on my word. Fix your focus on my word. I believe in the morning when we wake up and we first thing we do is however you do it, you keep your Bible on your nightstand or you keep your Bible in your restroom or you have an app or a little reminder or something to just flip open and just begin to put God's word in your heart. And again, I mentioned it last week, it doesn't take hours. Sometimes just take 5 minutes, just take 10 minutes, just get a scripture of the day and just begin to meditate on that. Sometimes when it comes to God's word, it's not about how much you can read, it's about how much you can actually digest and begin to apply to your life that day. And so sometimes less is more. We get in and we read chapter, and then that's good. There's a time for that. I believe all of us should endeavor to read through God's word, but day by day, sometimes it's good to just ask the Holy Spirit to just highlight a scripture and just say, okay, Lord, now how do I begin to apply that to everything that I'm called to do and be today? How do I begin to apply that to all the challenges of my day that you know that I've yet to even encounter?
And the word of God postures us to begin to pray and just submit our life and say, God, here's what your word showed me. And I pray that you would help me today in whatever way to begin to walk this out. Reading on in there in Deuteronomy chapter 11, he says, write them on your door frames of your house and on your gates. Let me read on, and then I want to come back and I want to visit this. It says, so that your days and that the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. He says, write it down on your doors. Write it on the gates of your property. And so there's something about just, and it's prophetic, but in that instance, it was actually God's call practically to them. And I was reading the scripture and the Holy Spirit just prompted me about something. I said, Lord, are you sure you want me to get into that? And he said, yeah, get into it. There's a way. I'll grace you to share it graciously. He says, write my word upon your doors and upon your gates. And, you know, this Halloween is approaching, and this is a season where many people will be adorning their doors and their property with symbolism of witchcraft, fear, and death. And listen, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, and it's worth saying it again. There's a ton of grace for this. Like, if that's something that you and your family value as a tradition, and you look forward to going out with your kids and trick-or-treating, and if your house is already decorated to the max, you know, hear me this morning. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear me. This is a judgment-free zone. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's a judgment-free zone. You really got to hear this. You need to hear this through the lens of grace, but listen to me. I take seriously the call to be your pastor. And I take seriously the privilege and the responsibility to speak to you the word of God and to hopefully train you and raise you up into God's word and his ways and to help you become everything that God has in his heart for you to do and for you to be in your life and in your marriage and in your family. And so it's communicated through a lens of grace, and it's completely judgment-free. But let me just encourage you with something. And hopefully you see it in Deuteronomy chapter 11. He says, write the word of God. Write my words of life upon your doorpost and put them outside your property on the gates of your property. And is it possible that the enemies used a holiday that seems trivial and it seems centered around just fun? You know, it's fun to dress up and it's fun to eat candy. Come on, I like to eat candy. Probably more than I should. But is it possible? Just let me finish the question. Is it possible that the enemy uses those things to just come in and cause us to get our eyes off of what God's commanded us and in just subtle ways to begin to just do things that just introduce the ways of the world in a greater way than God's word and his ways in our lives? Is it just possible? And so I'm not issuing a dictate for your church. I'm just sharing God's word for you, and I'm sharing my heart with you. And I'm telling you personally that it's the reason why my family, me and my house, the decision that we've made is that we're just not going to put up things on our property that speak to or owe to or give homage to or anything to anything regarding fear, because God's not given us a spirit of fear. To death, because God is a life-giving spirit. Or to witchcraft. He says, write them down. Listen, would you take that and would you just pray about it and would you just hear the Holy Spirit for your own self? And allow God to just quicken you to the decision that you make. And maybe it's just a process of a few years or something that you're, I mean, I don't know, just take it and pray about it. But he says, write them down, write these words of mine down on the door frames of your house and on your gates so that the days of you and your children may be many. When we seek God's word in a new way, in a fresh way, we discover life. When we seek God's word in a new way, in a fresh way, we discover direction for our life. And I'm telling you, I'm going to get into some of this over the next few weeks, and I'm so excited about some of the things that God's putting in my heart to help you begin to discover God's dream for your life. How do you know what God's dream is for your life? I believe he's given me some things to begin to share with you in the next few weeks. And then once you hear God's dream for your life, how do you begin to step into it? I believe he's given me some steps to begin sharing with you over the next few weeks for how to begin to walk out God's amazing purpose and calling and destiny and dream for your life. When we put our focus on God's word, we begin to discover God's direction. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word, O God, is a lamp for my feet. It's a light unto my path." Listen, some of you are up against some things. Some of you need direction. Some of you, you're at a moment of decision. Some of you, you need to know, God, do I go this way or do I go this way? What's your will? What's your heart? What's your plan for my life? And I'm telling you, it's found in God's word. Go to his word. All the places that you can seek and consult, you know, you can go down on Mass Street and pay to have your palm read. And they'll try to tell you what direction you're supposed to go. And I'm just telling you, the path for your feet and the light for your path is the word of God. When we put God's word, when we begin to fix our focus on God's word, he begins to show us the direction for our life. Amen? We find when we begin to fix our focus fresh and new on God's word, we find healing. We find healing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. They'll put it up behind me as well right here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Worship team, come up here and get ready to help us dismiss this morning. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says this, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them." I believe within that very first part of the scripture, that's something that God wants to do to us today. He wants to do in us today, to cause us to begin to listen carefully. Listen, how many of you know that you can hear some, you can listen to something and not really hear it? You can be in a room and not really be in a room. You can see something and really not see it. Come on, you know it's true. Those of you that are wives and have husbands know it's true. Those of you that are parents and have kids, you know it's true. You can hear something audibly with your ear, but not really hear it with your heart. And that's why God says we see with our eyes, we hear with our ears, but it's what really lands in our heart that matters. And he says, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Listen, I'm taking you somewhere with this. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Listen, if you need healing in any area of your life, this morning you're up against something in your physical health. This morning you need healing in a relationship, any relationship in your life. Maybe it's with your spouse, or maybe it's with a child that's estranged from you, or maybe it's with a distant relative. You need healing in your life. Maybe it's with a parent. In any area of your life, you need healing. I'm just telling you, there's a prescription that you can go and find that the world will give you, and it might bring some temporary relief. But the true healing that you need for that situation or that circumstance is going to be found in the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, begin to just search out whatever it is that, wherever it is that you need healing in your life, wherever it is that you need that breakthrough or that shift, begin to go and search out God's Word. Come on, just begin to go. I'm just going to practically just encourage you. Go to Google and Google God. Just say scriptures about healing for physical needs, scriptures about relational healing, and use it as a tool, and scriptures will just pop up, and you'll begin to go and just read just a report of just all the scriptures that have to do with the area of need that you have in your life. And then I want to encourage you to take a step further. Copy and paste them onto something and begin to print them out and begin to put them in places where you're following that principle that God encouraged the people of old to do, to put them before your eyes, to write them on your hands, to put them on your forehead, to keep them as eyelets before you, to make sure that you're focusing more on God's word than on the diagnosis that doctor's given you. Make sure you begin to focus on God's promise for your relationship more than the current felt situation in that relationship. Make sure you begin to focus on God's promises for your provision and for your financial breakthrough more than you're focusing on the mountain of debt that you currently have. Write it out. Focus on it. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully. Don't lose sight of it. Let it penetrate deep into your heart. There's life to those who find my words, God says. There's healing for your whole body. Write it out. Put it in places. Begin to treasure it. Begin to treasure it. Begin to treasure. One of the things that God's called us to do as Rev City is restore reverence for God. there's a reverence for God and God's word that needs to be restored. In some ways, we need to see some things restored to see revival revisited. And revering God's word. Listen, sometimes we have so much access. When we have something, listen, we're so blessed to live in the society that we live in the United States of America, where we have the freedom to freely assemble and gather in Jesus' name and gather upon God's word. And we have ready access. I just mentioned you can Google it. You know, we've got YouVersion and all these apps. We have all kinds of access. We've never has a generation had more access to God's word than today. And can I submit to you, never has a generation taken for granted God's word more than today. God wants to restore reverence for his word. God wants to restore a gratitude for God's word. God wants to remind us this morning where we wake up and we just become almost in a sense desperate. In fact, God says it. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Where we wake up in the morning and we're just so hungry. We're so thirsty for just one more drink from God's word that it's the first thing that we open up. It's the first thing that we go to. Whenever we have such ready access to something, and whenever something's freely available and it's in abundance, a lot of times we can lose our gratitude. And I have a video that I actually want to show you. I appreciate the background music, but I just have to ask you to pause it for a moment once they get this video queued up. And I saw this video a number of years ago, and this morning when the Holy Spirit began to redirect me, the Lord just reminded me of this video, and I searched it out, and the team was kind enough to just be willing to, on short notice, pull it up for you. And I hope it really impacts you this morning with something. I hope it really underlines just how God is desiring in each of our hearts to restore a reverence and an appreciation for God's word. So I want you to take a look at this and just ask yourself, how can I become more grateful? How can I begin to not take for granted the blessing of God's word? Take a look at this. That's a precious group of Chinese people who had heard about God's word but had never had access to it. We're receiving it for the very first time. Did you see the gratitude and the excitement that they had? And I just wonder, is it possible that what God wants to do is cause us to, and I'm not saying it's got to look just like that, but in our hearts, where every day when we get up in the morning, we begin to approach God's word that way. Lord, I can't wait to get into your word, for in your word is found life. And everything you've called me to do today in your word is where I find the direction and the light to the steps that you've called me to take today. So here's what I want to do as we respond this morning. I want to ask you, if you want God to restore or deepen your commitment, your appreciation, and your reverence for God's word, would you stand to your feet? Lord, we're so grateful for your word. Come on, in a world that says it's irrelevant, outdated, I'm just telling you, there's nothing more precious, more valuable, and more powerful than the word of God. And Lord, we just commit, come on right there where you are, precious people of God, just begin to commit yourself in your own words to just appreciate God's word, and just begin to commit in your own words and from your own heart, just your commitment to begin to get into God's word and discover God's heart for you in his word and discover God's promises for you in his word. Lord, we thank you that you are calling this church to revival. You are calling this church to see signs and wonders. You're calling this church, God, to see many people saved and healed and set free and strengthen to stand and to move forward in your purposes for their life, God. And we thank you, Lord, that mission is the mission of your word. You commanded us to go and make disciples. You commanded us to go and cast out the evil spirits. You commanded us to go and heal the sick. You commanded us to go and raise the dead, to revive them to life. And Lord, we thank you that it's going to be discovered, it's going to be found, it's going to be walked out as we restore reverence for the Bible, as we restore reverence for the Word of God, where there's life and where there's hope and where there's freedom. We pray, God, that you would do a deep work in us today that really would impact and change the trajectory and the course of the way we live out our life. I pray, God, that right now you would begin to deepen it in our heart and now begin to just show us practical ways. Come on, church, if we're hearers but not doers, we miss a mark. You know, we miss an opportunity. Right now, I believe that what God wants to reveal in our hearts, he wants to begin to show us how to go and begin to walk it out. And I just see people I see Bibles that are currently in a drawer just being left out in a prominent place on nightstands next to beds. I see Bibles that are up on bookshelves being taken off of the bookshelf and dusted off and being placed on the center of your dining room table or your coffee room table. Come on, just see it with me. It starts in our heart, but there's some ways where we can go back into our homes and begin to walk this out. I see people with intentionality making ways to, first thing when you rise up in the morning, to go and get into God's word. I see people, I see couples just finishing their day and wrapping up their night. Maybe you have just sat and eaten cereal in bed and watched Seinfeld reruns. Come on, maybe I just gave you a little bit too much of a glimpse into Amity and I's life. Maybe you still do that, but at the end of it, you're just intentional to just get in God's word just briefly and just turn to the Proverbs and just declare something over your life and just take hands and just say, Lord, we thank you that tonight you're going to speak to us through your word. You're going to give us dreams and visions for our future in you. We just thank you for visiting us even as we rest. I see some of you that are up against something in your health or your marriage or your family or your finances. I see you going in and digging in to God's word and discovering the promises of God. And I see you beginning to copy and paste them and print them onto stationery or print them onto index cards or whatever you got to do. And I see them taped on vanity mirrors in restrooms and bathrooms. I see them taped upon refrigerators. And I see them taped on windows where you stand at your sink and you do your dishes and you cook your meals. I see the word of God just being given a more prominent place in our hearts and in our lives. And can I tell you what I see because of all that? I see people discovering more of God's life. I see families beginning to come alive. I see marriages beginning to be healed and restored. I see physical bodies beginning to come into alignment with God's promises. It might take a while, but I'm telling you, get into God's word, and with perseverance and diligence, just begin to proclaim and speak his promises over your life in any area of your life. I see breakthroughs coming for people. I see generations shifted and changed today because of the commitment of a precious set of parents to begin to build your life in a new way upon the truth of God's word and begin to gather your kids around God's word and begin to, with intentionality, disciple them and train them and give them opportunities to learn and to talk and to pray about God's word. Come on, I see life increasing in the life of precious people because of a renewed commitment, reverence, and determination to make God's word the foundation of who we are as a people. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
I just want to encourage a couple people to hear today. I don't know who you are, but I was just reminded, and please excuse the sports analogies. I was just reminded last year at the Super Bowl. Anybody watch that game? I'm a Patriots fan, so sorry. But I was reminded midway through the game, and I was even having some snarky texts. Patriots ended up winning, okay? I'll just give it away. But they didn't look like it was going to win. They didn't look like they were going to win. Anybody watch the game? Help me. Thank you. And I remember seeing fans in the stands, and the game was halfway over, and these fans were just defeated, and their shoulders were slumped. Some of them left because it just looked like there was no way that there was going to be a victory. And I really sense the presence of the Lord here in this place for those that are hearing these words from Pastor Thomas about a word, getting a word from the Lord, getting into the word of God about your situation. And there's almost this desperation and there's defeat that's trying to come against you because you don't even know where to start because you feel that weight of the defeat so strongly. And I just want to encourage you today. Your victory's coming. And let me tell you, sometimes they replay on Sports Network some really awesome games. And you go back and you watch them because you know it's like, oh man, this is going to be a good game because they're down 20 and they come back and they win in the last 2 minutes. and you're watching that game and you're watching with an anticipation and you see those people in the stands, and I want to encourage you, church, you have sisters, you have brothers, you have family in this place that want to get behind you and get around you and declare the word of God over you. So I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I just believe that during this time of ministry, I just want to ask if it's something that you're walking through today, and if you need a word from God, and you're feeling defeat, and you're feeling a struggle, and you're feeling a lethargy and not even knowing where to start, I want to invite you just to come meet me here. I want to ask a few of our prayer ministry team, Julie, Kaylee, Alice, a couple of men. I want to ask you just to come over here and prophesy and pray over these people. Give them a word from the Lord. If that's you, I just want to ask you, just come up to the front right here, because I believe that God is going to come and he's going to encounter you, and he has a word that he wants to speak for you. Don't hold back. Don't hold back.
Come on, team, begin to lead us. And come on, precious people of God, don't miss the opportunity. You're up against something and you need a word from God. Step out. And then I believe what's going to have to happen is our entire ministry team is going to have to be activated to just come and begin to just respond to people and just pray the word of God and declare blessings and hope and provision over people's lives. So come on, as we sing this song, as we declare this promise, as faith is stirred and rising in our hearts in the midst of this song, step out from your seat if you need a word from God, and trust he's going to speak to you, church. He loves you so much. As passionate as I am as your pastor to see you discover the life of God's word, he cares about you even more than that. Amen.